بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussion on عمدة الأحكام, the book of fasting. And this is the fourth hadith under this chapter of fasting. This is the hadith of Anas bin Malik رضي الله عنه عن زيد بن ثابت رضي الله عنه قال تسحرنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم قام إلى الصلاة. قال أنس قلت لزيد كم كان بين الأذان والسحور؟ قال قدر 50 آية. زيد بن ثابت رضي الله تعالى said, we took, this is the hadith of Anas from Zayd bin Thabit رضي الله تعالى عنه, said we took the sahur with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, then he stood for the prayer. I asked what was the interval between the sahur and the adhan. He replied, the interval was sufficient to recite 50 verses of the Quran. Now, this is the hadith. The benefits of this hadith, that the sahur is legalized because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded it and he did it, right? We took the sahur with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Secondly, the legality to delay the sahur, and this is restricted as long as the person does not fear the emergence of dawn. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا يزال الناس بخير ما عجلوا الفطور وأخروا السحور. People continue to be on good as long as they hasten the breaking of the fast and delaying of the sahur. And delaying it is more motivating to attain the Fajr prayer. Also, this hadith is evidence for the generosity of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We take it from, where do we take it from in the hadith? The generosity of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Where we take it from the hadith? Question is to you. We took the sahur with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, that's the indication. The next benefit is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was keen to hasten to do the salat al-fajr, because this hadith indicates that the sahur of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ended with the emergence of dawn, and that between that emergence and the iqama there was 50 verses. You understand? So this time refers to the time between the iqama, between the emergence of dawn and the iqama and the establishment of the salah. So remember, this time is between the emergence of dawn and the iqama. So this indicates that the sahur of the Prophet ﷺ extended all the way until, you tell me, until what? Until fajr. Meaning it ended with fajr. It ended with fajr emergence. The next hadith. And Salama radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana yudrikuhu al-fajru wa huwa junub min ahli, thumma yagtasil wa yasum. At times, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to get up in the morning in the state of janaba, after having sexual relations with his wives, he would then take a bath and fast. Well, this is agreed upon hadith. Now, the janaba, the term janaba, legally refers to, first, having intercourse with the wife even without semen discharge. Then the ghusl is binding. This is the first situation. The second situation of janaba is semen discharge even without sexual intercourse with the wife. Also, ghusl is binding. Certainly, with sexual intercourse and seminal discharge, then it is by all means binding. So you see the situations now, the state of janaba. You understand? And if the person discharges the semen without the intercourse, then in this case, janaba is binding, the ghusl is binding, he or she is in a state of janaba. In this hadith, in one of the narrations, كان يصبح جنوبا من جماع. The Prophet ﷺ used to get up in the morning in a state of janaba, and then he added, following sexual relation. This is بيان للواقع. This is بيان, a clarification of what took place in order to exclude what? In order to exclude, mentioning this, having sexual relations, in order to exclude what dreams. In order to exclude what dream with respect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, and this is, the ulama rahimahumullah said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not get that. He does not get what dreams. And that's why the ulama mentioned that this is from the particularities of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that his eyes go to sleep, but his heart does not. And that's why the ulama, the scholars, rahimahumullah, mentioned that this is from the particularities of the Prophet ﷺ, that he does not get wet dreams. The benefits of this hadith. First, the correctness of the fasting of the person in a state of janaba, even if the person does not make the ghusl, does not make the ghusl until after dawn. And similarly, this holds true for the person who has wet dreams. So the fasting is correct. The fasting is correct. You understand this? Is this clear? Second benefit, similarly, the correctness of the fasting of the menstruating woman if she becomes pure before Fajr and leaves the ghusl until after Fajr. But remember, until after Fajr, this doesn't mean that if she extends it till the sun rises. No, after Fajr, commencement of Fajr, she takes a bath in order to make what? To make the salah, right? But it's telling us the permissibility to delay the ghusl till after the emergence of dawn. You understand? Is that clear? So therefore we take from this that it is not an obligation to hasten to make the ghusl from janaba, meaning it is permissible to delay it, but it is binding when the salah commences. He can't enter the salah, she cannot enter the salah without the ghusl. The next benefit, the permissibility to speak explicitly regarding some of that which it is kind of bashful to mention. How do we take this from the hadith? How do we deduce this from the hadith? Mentioning the state of janaba or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's right, because sexual intercourse with the wives, mentioning the sexual relations. That's right. That's right. Now, the next benefit. This hadith tells us that one returns in matters of knowledge to those who may encompass it more than others. Where did you deduce this? Where can you deduce this? I'm waiting for your answer. Okay. What the Prophet ﷺ did and he had more knowledge? No. Yes, it is narrated by whom? By whom? Those who are most acquainted regarding this piece of knowledge, right? In this case, who are they? In this case, who are they? His wives, Aisha and Umm Salama, radiallahu anhuma. And from this, we learn the merit of the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in relating to us his particularities. And from this also we learn the wisdom behind having the number of wives which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam married. And from that is the dissipation of knowledge. Each one relates what she had seen from his particular matters alayhi salatu wassalam. Because the actions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam or his sayings at home, they are the ones who are most familiar with. And most particularly Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. This hadith also, in this hadith there is permissibility to continue the intercourse until dawn. In this hadith there is evidence to continue the sexual intercourse until dawn. Where is this deducted from the hadith? Where is this deducted from the hadith? Okay, we'll repeat. This hadith is an indication to continue the sexual intercourse until dawn. The question is, where is this deducted from the hadith? He would take a bath and then fast. Used to get up in the morning. In the state of janaba, after having sexual relations with his wives, then takes a bath. That's right. Now, is it permissible to have intercourse while doubting the emergence of the dawn? Our Shaykh rahimahullah gave an answer to this as follows. If someone says, is it permissible to have the intercourse while doubting the emergence of dawn? We say to him, our Shaykh rahimahullah said, we say to him, is it permissible to eat and drink while in doubt concerning the emergence of the dawn? If the person says yes, then we tell him also similarly with respect to the intercourse, because the ruling is the same. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. And then now you can approach them and seek what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed upon you. And this follows the previous verse, the beginning of the statement before it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا, and eat and drink until the يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ, until the white thread, meaning of the day, becomes distinct to you from the black thread, meaning the night. This is distinct with the emergence of the dawn. So if someone says, well, if it becomes clear afterwards that he had the intercourse after Fajr, if it becomes clear that he had the intercourse going on after Fajr, then what is the ruling? The Shaykh rahimahullah said, As-sahihu, meaning the correct opinion, there is nothing upon him, and his fasting is correct, and there is no expiation, nor qada, nor makeup. Yeah, this is the verse 2, Surah Al-Baqarah 187. So now have sexual relations with them and seek that which Allah has ordained for you, and eat and drink until the white thread of the dawn appears to you, distinct from the black thread, the darkness of the day. Some of the scholars said otherwise, that he must refrain, and there is makeup upon him, and there is expiation. However, this is weak saying, because it opposes the Quran. Because Allah said in the Quran, حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ, until it what? Appears to you. Now if someone says, if the dawn appears to him while he is engaged with his wife, Should he continue? Someone told the Shaykh, rahimahullah, can't we make analogy regarding this situation as in the hadith, if dawn appears and in the hand of one of you there is a pot from which he is drinking, then let him drink until he finishes his need. And then he asks us now, shouldn't we make an analogy and the situation is the same? The Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned, this qiyas is not correct. This analogy is incorrect. And therefore, it is a must upon him, if dawn appears while he is engaged with his wife, is to immediately cease, and not continue. And there is difference between these two situations. The drinking from that pot is strengthening of the fasting person on his siyam, while the jima', the intercourse, is not. And therefore, there is difference in the situation, such that you cannot have an analogy. Secondly, it is possible that he may stay in the intercourse more than in the case of drinking. He cannot overcome that. The drive is stronger. So therefore, that's why he must pull out and cease immediately. This brings the end of the discussion on these two narrations. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.